the Bay Rowdies, who have made a huge upset.
Your 2021 Eastern Conference Champion.
Attack by the goal! Oh, that is a delicious goal for Tampa Bay.
And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Knowles coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast. I am here tonight to cover the Rowdies, like I usually do. And I am here tonight back with my usual co-host. We appreciate Parker joining us last week, but Carlos is back in the house. And by that, I mean his own house DC. So he was down to watch the game with us at Allen Lang Stadium and has flown back to climates up north. And now we get to speak with him again about what I think is probably going to be a very good game for all of us to discuss.
Yeah.
Carlos,
yeah.
How are you feeling?
I'm thrilled, James. It was a blast to be back home in sunny Tampa, Florida. Wasn't necessarily beach weather yet, which was a little disappointing. It was not. You know, the water was still a little chilly, but it was nice. DC is nice right now, too. The sun's out. It's a beautiful day. It's not too cold. Just got back from the gym. Feeling fit, feeling excited, feeling like I burned off some of the calories from the beer this weekend and the $3 Mick Ultras before the game at the Fan Fest, which was a great time. Thought they've been doing a good job doing some fun fan engagement pregame. Mm-hmm. Outside of Al Lang. It was a great time. I mean, we have so much to talk about in this game. Truly, there's so much on the field. But it was just great to be back at Al Lang with 6,000 plus of our favorite people. I think the final tally was 6,267. So not our you know, best home opener by any means, but certainly a solid crowd to bounce back from the lighter crowds we had last year. With the season we had. So I think a good start. I think hopefully there are bigger, even more vibrant Al Langs as the season progresses. But we had a really, really fun atmosphere and a packed supporter section, which was really fun to see. James, how are you doing before we talk about this game? What's going on down there?
Nothing much has changed. We have a Rowdies game coming up this past week, and obviously coming up this weekend again at Al Lang Stadium. So this is the first time I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it multiple times. Get your tickets this Saturday to see Rowdies again. We are, folks, it's early days, but I think it's safe to say we are back. I think it's pretty safe to say that right now. We are going to cover all the ways that the Rowdies either are or are not back, and then maybe we'll see exactly how convinced Carlos and I are, and you, the listener, as well. But there's a lot to get into, so we might as well jump in. As I said, this past weekend, we won again 3-0 against Pittsburgh Riverhounds. If you are unaware, Pittsburgh Riverhounds are the current champions of the USL Championship. They won last year at the end of the playoffs over Tulsa, which I did not expect, but they are the reigning champions. So we beat them 3-0. That doesn't mean that we are the champions of the USL Championship yet.
Not yet.
It's too early to say that, but I do feel really good about this game, and we're going to get into all of that, as well as this preview for the Loudoun United game on Saturday evening. So stick around. We'll get to everything here. Like and subscribe to us on YouTube, any major podcast platform. And, of course, please follow RBLR Sports on all your social medias at RBLR Sports. I will do the quick recap, and then we will jump into the questions here. The starting 11 was Jamali Waite, Dion Acuff, Brian Schaefer, Nathan Dos Santos, Charlie Ostrom in the defense. Lewis Hilton, Max Schneider sat behind Sebastian Cruz, Pedro Dolabella, and Russell Cicerone, with Marco Micheletto as the supposed striker up top. I don't think that he always played that role. I think it was Dolabella who was probably the highest at times, and Micheletto kind of switching with him as the play dictated. Obviously, Pedro Dolabella has a lot of height to him, and he's pretty good on the ball, so he is able to kind of play as a hold-up striker when needed, and I think it worked out here. So, yes, we dominated in this game and struggled to score all of our chances. That's despite having what I thought were a lot of good chances to score. We only scored our first goal late into the first half. At 45 plus 2 minutes. So in stoppage time there. Even despite the missed chances that we had, we still got three goals in the end, which is obviously pretty good. And that will lead us into our standings here. The Rowdies are third in the Eastern Conference after two games. Lou City and Hartford are ahead of us right now. Why? Because Lou City and Hartford have each played one extra game. So let's go into the standings for the Eastern Conference. Lou City sit on 9 points, Hartford on 7. The Rowdies obviously on 6. The Battery are also on 6. And then behind us, there are 4 teams each on 3 points. Out West, very interesting. Oakland lead with 7 points. San Antonio also have 7 points. Sacramento currently have 5. Orange County have 5. And then there are another 3 teams behind them on 4 points. So, yeah, it's early days, obviously. 3 or 2 games, depending on which team has played. There is also the labor situation to keep in mind. And I want to keep highlighting this, obviously, each week. The Rowdies started this game with a minute of non-motion. And then they started the second half also with a minute of non-motion. I think that that was something that they did across the USL Championship. So effectively, the players are trying to extend their protest on the field, maybe get more eyes on it. And I think that anybody who listens to this podcast probably knows about that. But maybe there were people in the stands who did not know about the demands of the USL Players Association. Maybe they looked it up because of this protest. Hopefully. But either way, during that protest, all of the Rowdies fans, at least those that I could hear, a good majority of people, it seemed, in the stadium chanted pay the players. I just wanted to point that out. It seems like a lot of people are in solidarity with the players. And I would say I personally do, give them what they're owed, because they are the product, let's say. In our own standings, let's highlight that really quickly before we jump into the questions. Carlos and Connor, our writer, each have 4. Parker, our writer, and our producer, Eureka, each have 2. And I finally am on the board with a singular point. But I did predict a win. I guess that was relatively easy to do at this particular point.
Yeah. So, Connor was the only one that got the score right. He predicted the 3-0 win last week. But we all predicted wins, so we all at least got 1 point.
Exactly. There you go. So Carlos and Connor each benefit from having predicted a correct score and a correct result without getting the correct score so far in this very early season. Let's get into our questions now and go over this game. For me, honestly, the 45 minutes in both the first and the second half flew by. This was a really good performance, and I didn't want to, as I said in the post-game press conference, I didn't want to blow smoke up the coach's bum for everything that happened in only the second game of the season. But it was very positive. So we're going to get into everything, including that post-game press conference. I'm going to turn it over to you, Carlos, here. Been talking for a little bit. Let's get your impressions on this game versus Pittsburgh Riverhounds.
Yeah, James, you've been waffling. Let me talk. Jeez. No, I'm joking. There is so much to like about this game, James. I mean, we could go first half, second half, as we like to do sometimes. First half was definitely the lighter of the halves in terms of chances for the Rowdies. Really, I think it was only one shot on target. Let me fact check myself. Yeah, one shot on target in the first half, 6 in the second half. I'll point out that across the entirety of the game, Pittsburgh managed to put together 0 shots on target. Incredible work from our midfield back to our back line. I think you give credit as well to the attack as well. It's an insane amount of pressure throughout the game on Pittsburgh's back line and midfield. And I think they were forced to play a lot of balls that they wouldn't like to otherwise. Shout out. I want to give a special shout out, by the way. We didn't talk about Pittsburgh's lineup, to my boy, Max Vieira, Georgetown kid, 2 years younger than me. Good friend of one of my fraternity brothers, recently made his professional debut for Pittsburgh. And started in this game against the Rowdies. So really special for me to see one of my friends out there, which is insane. I think he was struggling with the pace of this Rowdy squad, though. I mean, it was insane, James. We've talked about this younger team that we've put together, right? Like, there's a lot of, there's a lot of youth in comparison to the last few years. That being said, we've pointed out guys like Dion Akoff as maybe being a question mark, right? 34 years old on the right side of the field. We didn't really know a ton about him, but the preseason reports were that he was in great shape and he was able to run up and down the field. And I think you saw a lot of that in this game as well. So I wanted to highlight that because I thought he was really, really interesting to keep an eye on as we progress in this early part of the season, right? There's so much to like about this game, James. I don't even really know where to start. I took some notes about the things that I loved, some things I liked, some things I'm intrigued by going forward. So I'll just mention a couple of things really quickly before we talk maybe about the goals specifically. Loved Russell Cicerone in this game.
Okay.
Incredible performance. We talked about how exciting he was in preseason. I wasn't really aware of his pace, to be honest. I always kind of considered him like a kind of in the box kind of guy, in the right place at the right time, kind of attacker. It never really occurred to me that he'd be so quick on the wing as he's been for this Rowdy squad early on, including preseason. He's exciting. He dribbles quick. I mean, he gets down the field. He's physical. He played hockey growing up. Like, he likes to take guys on to put a body on someone. Yep. Like, he's a dog, man. He's 31, very much in the prime of his physical, in his physical prime. Goal and an assist, obviously, in what was a beautiful first goal, served in by Marco Micheletto, put on the money by him, Russell Cicerone, beautiful header. And then he was involved in that transition play to score our second goal of the night from MD Myers off of a pass from Cicerone. Beautiful little through ball in off of a counterattack where Brian Schaefer stepped up, got involved, cut out a pass, and then left it for Cicerone to run way down the field, play a beautiful little ball to MD Myers, who had an insane finish, just a perfect finish. Like, right there, I mentioned three guys, and I loved every part of their game on this night too, right? But Cicerone was special that night. But so was MD Myers. I mean, he came off the bench, and we realized pretty quickly that MD Myers is probably going to be who we all thought he was going to be. His first game, first appearance in the regular season, comes in, immediately makes an impact, scores his goal, gets an assist later on to another guy who's going to come in and immediately make an impact. It's insane, James, that we have been able to bring off the bench MD Myers, Evan Conway, Louis Perez, who I thought was really interesting on the night. It's not even mentioning Carson Henderlong, by the way, who had a great preseason for us. Quiet 6 or 7 minutes at the end of the game. I'm in awe. Like, it was awesome. It was a great first home game. There was nothing to dislike. Jamali Wade didn't really have to do much, but he was there when he needed to be there.
Yep. Also, coming off his bench, I'll just highlight, or coming off his bench, coming off his line, I want to highlight really quickly. He did that multiple times to clear the ball when Pittsburgh were threatening to threaten, is how I'll phrase it, but not actually getting close enough to do so.
I'll mention one other area I loved in my notes separately here. Was the back line as a whole incredible. Brian Schaefer for me was kind of a wild card because, again, to be completely honest, it was a name I had no familiarity with. Some sickos like James might have been really in tune with USF soccer and remembered him from his days there, but I wasn't. I know he is with FCC over in Cincinnati on loan, and they have high expectations for him, sent him out to a good club like the Rowdies to get him some minutes. And he's been so impressive in these first two games. It's going to be really, really hard for me to just take him out and plop Leland Archer back in whenever he's ready to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This game was awesome.
Yeah. Who do you take off then?
Yeah. I mean, Brian Schaefer has been so perfect is a strong word, but there was nothing to say about him in that first game or second game to knock him. Just solid, solid, solid defensive performance from him in these first two games of the season. By the way, that first goal we had in Birmingham was off of his long throw-in, which we've been working on. Anytime there's that throw-in kind of on that opposite side of the field, Brian Schaefer's making his way down there and throwing that ball like a quarterback right into the box. When I was down at the Rowdies training facility on Friday before the game, they spent a few minutes working on set pieces like that. It was insane. It was fun to watch a set piece off of a throw. And anytime we're down on the other side of the field, we have like a faux corner at this point with this guy. So a ton of stuff to like about him. Dos Santos was so solid. Ostrom, yeah, I already talked about Akoff, right? Ostrom was so solid, getting down the field, putting in several good crosses that could have ended up in goals. I noted in the 49th minute in particular, Ostrom put a cross in early second half where Micheletto had a shot, Hilton had a shot, and then Cruz had a shot. It was bam, 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 saved by either Campuzano or the Pittsburgh defenders just like getting in the way of the ball, scrambling last second. He put in a beautiful ball there. So back line as a whole, I read this, James, as like a four, five, one formation or like a 4-3-3, depending on the moment in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I liked our back four a lot. It was really, really fun. It was got upfield when they needed to be, got back and cut off the passes from Pittsburgh when they needed to. It was just, they're young, you know, with the exception of Akoff, but Akoff looks like he's 23 out there. You know what I mean?
I didn't want to interrupt when you mentioned him, but because I already had, but Dion Akoff, I said at the beginning of the year that I expected us to go and get one other possibly starting caliber right back just because he's 34 and I expected him to probably start a lot of games, but maybe not all of them. I forget what I said ever questioning Dion Akoff. If he's got injury problems that come up over the course of the season, that's one thing. But yeah, Dion Akoff is perfectly acceptable as the starting option for the vast majority of this year. Maybe we'll get some spot minutes from Sebastian Cruz, who has played there. Maybe we'll get some spot minutes from Alex Rodriguez, who has played there. But Dion Akoff, good to go.
Just awesome. Like, and Fought Mob's funny because I don't know why his rating is what it is, right? It's in the orange where the majority of the team is in the green, right? I don't know what stats they attribute to him to, you know, knock him a couple points there. But he was so fun to watch. Like he puts his head down and he just gets downfield. He put an incredible 66 minutes together before he got subbed off for Luis Perez. I don't know if that was like a fatigue thing, but again, if you get 66 incredible minutes like that from Dion Akoff, I'm sold on having him start every game.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really interesting to take note of the substitutions as well, James, right? In the 66th minute, oh my goodness. I just mentioned Luis Perez, right? Luis Perez comes on and Akoff comes out, Micheletto comes out, and MD Myers comes in. I didn't notice it at the time, but looking back, what I imagine happened, and you can correct me if you think I'm wrong, what I imagine happened is that Luis Perez goes out to kind of like the wing area where Sebastian Cruz was, and Sebastian Cruz dropped back into that right back spot. Yeah. Is that what you noticed?
Yeah.
Is that kind of about right?
Looked about right.
Okay. That is awesome to note. Like that's just the flexibility of this squad to just move guys around and keep things unpredictable, I think was a lot of what Dominic Casciato wanted this year, right? And there's a comment on YouTube, if you're watching on YouTube, from John saying, we got hints of Dom's tactical approach last year, but now with the full squad in a home game, I feel like we definitely saw his style of play, which is very different from his predecessors, right?
Yep.
Talked a lot about his style of play in last season when he came in the offseason a lot, like looking ahead to this year, the attacking high-pressure kind of game. On top of the attacking soccer, the high-pressure soccer that he likes to play, one of the things that we've noted in the preseason is how dynamic the players he's brought in have been. I talked to him on Friday through a quote that he shared on my Twitter account at CarlosCPA10, retweeted by at RBLR Rowdies, follow them, where he talks about like that being an intentional emphasis, right? Getting guys who can play two or three different positions really, really well versus getting a guy who can play one position really well. Like that's helpful. And you see that because you can take out guys, you can take out a right back for like an attacking midfielder and then move guys around to make it work. It's so fun to watch, right? MD Myers comes in for Micheletto. What happens there? MD Myers goes into that striker role. Dolabella drops back into that area where Micheletto was in, right? Micheletto comes out. Like you can move pieces around. Dolabella started as a striker. I like that was not anything I would have expected. Fotmob says Mika Leto was the main guy here. I don't buy that.
No.
Villabella was definitely the point man here, playing as our main attacker for the majority of this game. But his ability to slot back into the kind of like attacking midfield role behind the main striker and MD Myers is awesome. Like, this is fun. It's unpredictable for the opponent. It makes analyzing the game as, you know, a casual fan who does a podcast every week really, really fun. And a little challenging, right? Because we're looking at this lineup and we're like, these guys, you know, maybe don't seem to be in the position that they actually were in for the majority of the game. This is really fun. I haven't even mentioned the duo in the middle that we've talked about last week in Hilton and Schneider, right? By this point, I've mentioned everybody by name who touched the field. And I think I do that very intentionally. Like, everybody had a great contribution in this one. And it was a really, really fun watch. I don't want to keep talking about everybody and going into detail because I want to save some for James. James, is there anybody I've mentioned here that you want to add on to, or anybody I've missed? I think there's a lot to say about Hilton and Schneider that I haven't really gotten to.
You mentioned Akoff and I jumped in on that one. Charlie Ostrom is another player that I think had a really good game and I would personally highlight. I think Charlie Ostrom was involved in a lot of plays that led to a lot of really good things.
Yeah.
Yes, I do obviously like the buildup between Max Schneider and Lewis Hilton. Schneider is that man. He is. There are a couple of things that I wanted to highlight, especially from the press conference, and I'm going to have to get to that in a bit here. But yeah. The coach, and then we spoke with Russell Cicerone, and then we spoke with Brian Schaefer. I think two or three of them, at least two of them, use the word relentless. And yeah. I think the whole team is, but also Max Schneider in particular, relentless. He just does not stop. He does not stop putting you under pressure and trying to make things awful for you. Lewis Hilton, absolutely. He is a deserved captain of this team, and I love what he does. I want him to keep playing this role. And he does it so effectively. It's such a joy to watch him out there kind of conduct this team with his, there was a time in this game, and I wish I remember the exact moment. I should have written it down, but he received the ball and there was an open player. I think it was coming towards the Ralph's Mob section. He turned with the ball in the midfield. It was one or two touches at the most. There was a player already streaking. He hit the diagonal and it was wide open into space. It was so perfect. It's an embodiment of what Lewis Hilton does with the ball. And I love to see that. Next time, everybody, I will write that down. But there are a couple of other things that I wanted to highlight as well. So I'm going to turn over to the post-game press conference now.
Yeah.
We had, obviously, as we talked about, goals from Russell Cicerone in stoppage time of the first half, then MD Myers in the 77th minute, and we got the third goal in stoppage time of the second half.
Yeah.
Just to highlight what we did overall, 17 total shots from the Rowdies. Pretty good number. Seven shots on target. Fantastic number. Number. Four big chances. Yes, I think it was four big chances. No, seven big. I'm sorry. Four Fought big chances says, missed. Fotmob says seven big chances overall. I don't know if that's correct, but the point is that we did very well attacking wise, right?
Yeah.
We were not connecting on all of those, obviously. And I'll point out that that was due to some very good last ditch defending from Pittsburgh. They slid like a hockey defender would slide to get in front of a couple of shots. And obviously their goalkeeper was very good too. So I just wanted to point that out. We probably could have better luck in certain moments. Despite some very good defensive efforts from Pittsburgh, we were still able to get these three goals.
Yeah. James, let me add two more numbers to the numbers while we're talking about stats really quickly. Shots inside the box, 11-1 in favor of the Rowdies. Touches in opposition box, 24-5. Like, this is, again, we're not talking about some bum team, right? Like,
this is a
Pittsburgh team that had some movement in the offseason, right? Sure. It's not maybe entirely the championship winning team from last year, but there's a lot of talent and it's an attractive place to play after winning a title. Like there is, it's a really, really talented squad that we talked about going into this game and that you and Parker talked about last week. These numbers are show an absolutely dominating performance that maybe didn't feel like it in the first half for this game, but by the end you felt that way.
Anyway, exactly. Exactly. So the one thing though, obviously, we did not get a goal very early on. And this was something that both of the players and Coach Dominic Casciato highlighted in that press conference. They said the first 15 minutes were not going the way that exactly the Rowdies wanted. Okay, fair enough. They made a little bit of an adjustment. And I tried to get a little bit more information on exactly how they went about that. They were not as forthcoming as I will hope for future press conferences. If anybody from the Rowdies organization is listening to this, I would just give me the tactics talk. I'm not going to try and give it away, but give me the tactics talk. Anyway, point being, they changed things up and they started to get more of the results that they were looking for. However, obviously, we did not score. So something that Dominic Casciato highlighted, and this is where I really wanted to take our conversation in relation to this game against Pittsburgh. He brought up in the post-game press conference, and you can find this on our Twitter account, our producer Eureka cut the clip and shared that. So, I mean, it shouldn't be on Twitter. It should be on all of our social medias, obviously, but you can find it there. Dominic Casciato mentioned how we had not scored, and so there's this famous thing in soccer, Sir Alex Ferguson, when a game was getting towards what he would call squeaky bum time, which is at the end of a half, usually at the end of a game, when you're feeling a little iffy, you're not exactly happy with how things have gone, you want it to be a little bit better, he would point at his watch and let everybody know it's Fergie time. That's when you need to step it up. That's when you need to focus, dial in, and let's try to get a goal before the whistle goes. And we did that twice in this game. So he mentioned Fergie time, and he said that he was hoping to get a little bit of Tampa time coming forward. I don't know if he prepared that. He said that he didn't, but I hope as well Coach Dom has just coined a term for us here. Maybe the other thing that I would hope for, though, I guess, is more goals early on so we don't have to worry about stoppage time goals. But, yes, that was something that I really wanted to highlight. This game was very positive, very dominant from the Rowdies, relentless, all of those words that we've used before. Yeah. But there's a little bit of culture being instilled very early on, in my opinion. And the culture, obviously, is the work rate. It's the effort and the energy that all of the players are putting in all over the field. Yeah. In addition to that, though, I think that this team feels different. I think that this team has a different belief about them, and that comes with all of the energy and effort and everything that they've been putting into. They have to believe that they are able to go and get goals, even in moments when it's not likely, even in moments when they're running out of time, let's say. And if he points at his watch, it's Tampa time, we're going to get some more goals. That's my hope for this year. I really think, as I said, it's a cultural shift, and I think that it's getting implanted really early on with this team. Yeah. This is exciting. It's early, I know that, and we don't want to get carried away, but maybe a little bit, just a little bit carried away with our Tampa time.
Yeah. I remember, I think it was Mark that commented on our Instagram post with that graphic, who mentioned you wouldn't mind some goals between minute 1 and 44 and 45 and 88, though. So we don't have to wait till Tampa time to score a bunch of goals, but if it happens, go for it. I'm excited. Yeah, you're right. You talked about the culture and rebuilding kind of the belief, right? I think that was one of the things that you wanted to do when you bring in an entirely new squad, with the exception of Wyke and Hilton, right? And I think you're seeing that. It's a lot of young guys. We talked about it being a group of guys with something to prove. Some of the interviews we've had in the last few weeks, that's been kind of like a theme. Hungry young guys who have proven themselves maybe in League One and now have a chip on their shoulders to make sure everybody knows that they're good enough for the championship and MLS and who knows what beyond that, right? So I think you're getting that, and it's been really fun. And, you know, we can talk about the goals a little bit individually, but I think overarching theme of this game was that it was exciting. It was high pressing, attacking soccer with a group of guys that seemed like they've been together for a couple years or something. Like they looked like they were having fun on the field. How could you not be when you win 3-0? Lewis Silton is bringing all the guys over after the game, after their huddle, to come celebrate with Ralph's Mob and Skyway Casual in the supporter section, which again was really full and bumping and vibrant and loud, and was really fun environment to be in. I inhaled a lot of smoke bomb that was in front of me, but you know, we move. But yeah, I think the highlight for me at the end of the game was, on top of the Evan Conway goal, was seeing Lewis Hilton bring the guys over, bring the new guys over, and come over. And you know, the end of the game chant was, "We love you, we love you, we love you." Everyone knows that, right? So the players who, you know, maybe have been around their different clubs and finding their place in American soccer, seemed like they've been here forever. They were singing with Ralph's Mob at the end of the game, jumping around, jumping, you know, throwing their arms up and down. Like, they were having a blast. So that was really cool to see as someone who's been curious about how these new guys are going to gel together, right? How that chemistry is going to look, or how that chemistry is going to come together over a number of weeks. Like, I was really, really interested to see, what that would look like in our first home game. And you're right. I think there's plenty of reason for Rowdies fans to maybe get a little carried away, get excited, like, yeah, go sure. for it. You have the right to be excited about this team. It's early. There's going to be, you know, even the best team, right? If we go on and finish in first or second place in this conference, there's going to be moments where we have a 2-3 game, you know, bad streak. It happens. But it seems like this team has the character to, what's the word? Like, kind of the grittiness, right? Like the young grittiness, kind of chip on your shoulder attitude to go out and bounce back from something like that. So if we never lose a game ever again this season, I'd love it. But it seems like if we come across those challenging moments in the year, this will be a team that can bounce back. The character of the guys looks great on the field.
Yes.
Yeah, there was a lot to be excited about. Again, we haven't even talked about all that much how MD Myers and Evan Conway came off the bench and like immediately made an impact. That's awesome. MD Myers in particular, we talked about him as kind of being the splash signing of the offseason. Probably the most dangerous attacker in the league. He comes in his first game with this club in regular season in front of the 6,000 fans and whatnot, trying to make, you know, a good first impression with the folks in Al Lang, and immediately lived up to, you know, the hype, right? Got an assist later on Evan Conway goal too. I'm repeating myself. There's so much to be excited about. The idea of bringing like Evan Conway off the bench and Carson Henderlong off the bench is crazy and exciting. Like, it's an insane wealth of talent to be bringing off the bench in the 60th, 70th, 80th minute. So yeah, this was a fun one, James. This was a fun one. And I think one that Rowdies fans needed, right? It's been a tough run, you know, overall last year, and maybe the year before things were still also not as good as we would have liked. Maybe dropping more home games than we'd been used to in the past few years. I think this is a game that put us back on, you know, the winning path, got the fans behind them again, got the mob and the casuals singing and smoke launching and TIFOs up. And it was fun. It was a really good time. So that's all I got to say on this game. Beautiful goals. Marco Micheletto, beautiful cross to Russell Cicerone for, by the way, his 70th career goal. Shout out to Cicerone for his 70th goal this weekend. 59th minute. No, that wasn't the goal. 77th minute was that defense to offense transition. Played a beautiful counterattack with Cicerone carrying the ball down the field. Threw ball to MD Myers with the lovely little chip goal. It's been a while since we had a really, really dangerous counterattack like that. Love to see that. And of course, at the end of the game, Evan Conway comes off the bench, gets a goal off of a chaotic scramble where it seemed like every Rowdies attacker got a touch on the ball, which was awesome to see. Ultimately ending up with MD Myers driving across into the box and Evan Conway putting his foot on it to drive in the third goal of the night. Those were your three goals, James. Rowdies win 3-0. and get their second shutout of the offseason, or sorry, of the offseason, of the regular season, officially tying the 2025 Rowdies for shutouts in the regular season, who had two shutouts all season last year. The 2026 Rowdies already have two in their first two games. So fascinating.
License to get carried away, but only a little bit.
Yeah, you have the right to get excited and get carried away with this team. If you fact check me and you find a third shutout, I'm going to like put a footnote here just before you correct me and tell me I'm wrong. It was the third shutout was the Jägermeister Cup shutout against Naples down in Naples, not league play. So don't go and correct me because I'm right, James. This is awesome. You have a reason to be excited. You have a reason to get your tickets for the game this Saturday against Loudon, who we'll talk about in a little bit. But I think we have an opportunity to really build some momentum here and go 3-for-3. So awesome game. Awesome.
All right. Well, Carlos, with that, I think that we can do our final part for this review, which is the man of the match. And in all honesty, kind of picks itself. There are a ton of good players. And if I were going to pick based on just the player that I liked the most out there before 75 minutes, I guess that would be different. But yes, there were two players that had a goal and an assist, and it's hard to leave them off. So Carlos, I will turn it over to you to pick pick your man of the match before I go with mine.
Yeah, mine's easily Russell Cicerone. It's hard for me to say otherwise when he had the impact he had on this game. Obviously the first goal with a beautiful cross driven in from Micheletto, beautiful assist on the second goal to really start to put this game away. But he was involved throughout the game. I mean, he was exciting. He dribbles the ball well, he gets downfield and was a true catalyst for this attack. I'm looking forward to continuing to see all the best he has to offer this season. Scoring a goal, by the way, against his former team. A number of former Pittsburgh guys on this Rowdies roster who played against their former team this weekend. Cicerone probably being the nightmare of Pittsburgh on this one. So lovely to see. Thanks to him for a great game. He's my man of the match.
And mine was MD Myers. As I said, if I had chosen somebody from before roughly the 75th minute, then maybe it would be somebody else. But when somebody gets a goal and an assist and they do it in 15-20 minutes, yeah, they're gonna get the shout. So there you go. Russell Cicerone, MD Myers. I tried to say Russell Myers, but that is not quite correct here. They are our men of the match. So we have to get into our preview. But before we do that, liking and subscribing is free. If you think you might need some new threads coming up this year, you can support our podcast a little bit more by heading over to shop.rvlrsports.com and checking out all the designs that we've got cooked up there. There will be a link in the description. And if you like when you like something you see, you can use the promo code COYR for 10% off. Our producer Eureka has told us that we should already be prepared to see somebody. Don't know who, but somebody in the stands wearing an RBLR Rowdy shirt. So looking forward to that. And hopefully there will be more of you doing the same. Like I said, please check out the link and we hope to see you there. We hope to see you this weekend, in fact, when the Rowdies take on Loudoun United at Al Lang at 7:30. Get your tickets. Now, let's get into this game here and talk about Loudoun United a little bit. Their record is not great so far. They have lost at home to Pittsburgh, who we just beat, won in the Open Cup versus an amateur side. Okay, fair enough. And drew against Miami. I wouldn't say that this is the best Miami team either, but, you know, it is early, so maybe Miami have some surprises up their sleeve as well. I don't know, but it's a possibility. As I said, they're not doing particularly well at this particular moment, even if it is only three games in. They sit on one point after last weekend's home game against Miami, that 0-0 draw that they had. I want to go through the likely starting 11 and see exactly how close we get it coming up this weekend. Adam Beaudry on loan from MLS side, I believe Colorado Rapids, will likely start in net, and he will be behind, I believe, Sal Mazzaferro, Bolu Akinyode, and Noah Adnan. There are two names in there that might be a little familiar. Sal Mazzaferro is a former USF Bull. I believe he was there all 4 years, if I'm not mistaken. And obviously, Bolu Akinyode has been a thorn in the side of the Tampa Bay Rowdies for ages now. I mean, I think he's only 30 or 31, but it seems like he's been bothering the Rowdies since the 75 era. I'm not entirely sure. The midfield is likely to be Richie Amon as one of their wingbacks. James Murphy, Sean Young, and Kwame Awuwa across the midfield, sitting behind, at least last week, it was Jack Panayotu, Archimedes Ordóñez, excuse me, very interesting name, Archimedes Ordóñez, and Thorleif Rolfarsson. A lot of difficult names in there, but we got to go through them. Carlos, I believe you might be a little familiar with Jack Panayotu, but that is a name to highlight there. So there are just a couple of goals scored so far. Sean Young and Rolfarsson each have one goal. Richie Amon has their assist in the league. And there are obviously a couple of other players that could work their way into the starting 11. They are also working under a new coach, just like Pittsburgh. So I wanted to highlight that. This coach, not one with a ton of head coaching experience. He has bounced around the lower divisions in England and not necessarily always as a head coach. If I'm being perfectly honest, when I saw that they announced him, Carlos, I think you and I probably talked about this in one of the offseason or preseason episodes. And when I looked him up, it was a complete mystery to me. I don't know where they got him. I don't know how they got in touch with him. Must be some interesting work for that agent, but something that there is to highlight. Carlos, are there any other players or any other trends related to Loudoun United you would like to highlight before we go on with the predictions?
Noting that this will be their first away game, so always a challenge, I think, to play in the new ground. A lot of young guys, obviously, but there's definitely a mix. Kimi Ordóñez, their striker. My girlfriend just texted me. She's watching. She's a big FCC fan, Cincinnati Academy guy. Lots of potential. I'm surprised he ended up at Loudoun because I think he's got a lot of talent. I remember
his name. Better than them.
Yeah. With all due respect to Loudoun. Jack Panayotu, Hoya, great in the midfield. A huge threat in the attack. He's really quick and is able to get downfield and rip a shot from outside the box or play a ball into, a really dangerous attacker like Kimi Ordóñez. I think that's probably your most dangerous duo in the attack. I don't really know anything about Rolfarsson, to be honest. I don't know where they found him. We talked about that. So maybe he's good. But I think you have to keep an eye out for Panayotu and the Ordóñez combo up top. Everybody else is kind of a mystery to me, with the exception of Akinyode. Just looking at the stats from Beaudry, their 19-year-old keeper, he had a really good game against Miami. Was actually the man of the match in their game, their 0-0 draw with Miami. He had 10 saves, very impressive, against a Miami squad that is a little bit of a wild card for us, I think. We don't know what they're going to really kind of grow into this season. But Miami did create 11 shots on target and had three big chances against this Loudoun squad. Obviously, all of them were stopped by this young Loudoun keeper in Adam Beaudry. So if you haven't heard that name, maybe he's one to keep an eye on. He's on loan from, I believe, Colorado, right?
Yeah. And current U.S. youth national team player too. So,
yeah. So certainly a lot of talent in that goalkeeper spot. I think, it's not that there's a lack of talent on this team either, right? Like there's certainly, names to keep an eye on, names that you might recognize. And again, wild cards that could really flourish into something like this Rolfarsson guy. Truly, I don't know where he came from, but has some experience in MLS with Houston and in Iceland, and I don't know, whatever, maybe he flourishes into something really good in the USL. I'm curious to see how it comes together for them. It doesn't look like they created a ton in the attack, but they certainly held their own defensively against a Miami squad that did actually create a lot in the attack this past weekend against them. So maybe they come, I think you can probably expect them to come into Tampa Bay playing off the ball a lot. sitting back, maybe absorbing some pressure, and then using the youth that they have to create some dangerous counterattacks. I'm kind of speculating. I don't really know. This is a new team that they've put together, and they haven't played an away game yet against a really good team like the Rowdies. But that would be my guess, that they want to try to absorb some of the pressure and take advantage of the young, speedy Ordóñez and Peñoto, and the young guys they have out on the wing as well. Amon, 22. Owu is actually 30. So, I mean, he's very much in his prime as well. Maybe quick. I don't know, James. Truly, I don't know. Point is, they haven't had some great results early on, and their only win was against Westchester, an amateur. Not Westchester.
Yeah, not that one.
Not Westchester, the League One club, which seems like it operates like a semi-pro club. But Westchester, the actual amateur club.
Damn, who thought that they would be catching strays on this stream?
Dude, they have like a chat GPT generated logo and 30 people there. Like, I don't know. Anyway, point is, I think this is a game you want to ride some momentum into and capitalize off of a nice weekend performance this past weekend, ride into this game against Loudoun, who is still finding their identity, I guess. But a team we need to be careful with, because like I said, Peñoto, plenty of talent. Keeney Ordóñez has plenty of talent. They can really create something quickly in a counterattack. So you got to be careful, got to be ready. I like the speed we have on the back line to match their speed. So Brian Schaefer, sneaky quick. Dos Santos was quick. Ostrom is quick. Akoff is quick. We maybe just keep one more guy back. I don't know. I think you want to try and match their speed in with our back line. So we'll see how it goes. Yeah. Swashbuckler, I think that's JD, in the YouTube comments. What I'm hearing is that the USL Championship is 75% Georgetown graduates. Yeah, I guess so. There's a lot of them. They're good, man. We sent one. Dante Pulvara, I think, is the only one that we've sent abroad so far in the last few years. He made it to
Abbey. He's back, by the way.
And he's back. He's at St. Louis, I think, MLS. But yeah. If you're listening to this and you're a really good high school soccer player and you want to play good college soccer, Georgetown sends you to the pros. What can I say? Brian, we should pay me for this recruiting message I'm throwing in here, head coach of Georgetown. All right, James, let's jump into predictions. I feel good about this game. I don't know about you. What do you tell us? Why don't you tell us about your prediction?
Yes, I am also feeling good about this game. And in all honesty, my gut is telling me, just like you said, we have momentum, and this seems like a team that we should be able to knock down. So I would like for us to continue that momentum at the exact same level that we have had it so far. By that, I specifically mean getting a shutout here. The issue, of course, is that shutouts are very difficult.
Yeah.
As much as we apparently limited Pittsburgh to very few shots overall on target, in our box, what have you. It doesn't take too much for one mistake to happen. So yeah. I would like to see a shutout, but I'm going to go with a 3-1 win and just give myself the room there to rely maybe on Ordóñez getting a goal here. Maybe Carlos's famed buddy Jack Peñoto. There are a couple of other players within the Loudoun United team that come off the bench, obviously, and they might be able to contribute here. But I think that there's just too much of a possibility of them to get a goal. I should have highlighted this earlier, but one other player on their roster is Pacific Nyongabire. Probably won't score. But Carlos has also pointed out many times in the past that every former Rowdies player will either score against us or get a very good chance against us. We have seen that multiple times. We have seen multiple goals. In fact, Junior Etu, I think, in this past game got a relatively good shot off, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe it was a yellow card. It was something along those lines. But So just keep in mind, they do have a former Rowdy. There's the former Rowdy's curse, if you want to put it that way. And there's every possibility that one of their sneaky shots is going to sneak right in.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to give myself that room and give ourselves a 3-1 win.
Yeah. By the way, they also have another former Rowdy, Ethan Bondre, who hasn't.
I don't expect him to score.
Yeah. I would be shocked if Ethan Bondre scores. That would that would be concerning. I think for both sides here, why is Ethan Bondre scoring the goals for Loudon? But whatever. Yeah, I think you have a good prediction. I like that. I like where your head's at. I do think Pittsburgh and maybe Birmingham as well probably had better attacks than like better attacking talent than this Loudon team, which makes me inclined to roll with another shutout. But I think you make a good point about not three shutouts in a row to start the season would be kind of ridiculous.
It'd be great, but ridiculous.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Loudon also another player who's haunted us in the past, has rode their bench in the last couple of games. Elvis Amo, 34-year-old striker, sitting on the bench for them. He came in this 87th minute for them last game, so maybe someone to keep an eye on as well. It doesn't seem like he's going to be a huge factor, but someone who's haunted the Rowdies at Al Lang before. Still remember that game against Hartford, where they had like 11 guys rostered and they somehow scared the hell out of us with that game. Elvis Amo took on the whole team by himself and decided he wants to be a hero that day. So hopefully not this time. But like I said, I do feel like we can ride our momentum into this game and get another good performance. I'm going to go with another shutout because why the hell not? I think we keep them off the board. I feel like we're going to have a lot of ball on this one. And we win this one 2-0. And I don't say more because this Loudon goalie seems to have a pretty good, I don't know. He's talented. I don't know where I'm trying to go with that.
Yeah.
Just looking at the numbers, like I haven't seen him play, but it seems like he's a threat. And it seems like we'll have a lot of big chances missed, quote unquote, because of him. But who knows? Maybe it's a blowout. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's close. I really do like your prediction, James. I think 3-1's a healthy prediction. But I'm just gonna keep rolling with the defense. I talked about how much I like them, so I'm gonna go with another shutout and go 2-0 Rowdies.
I would really like us to get another shutout. Don't get me wrong. I'm hedging my bets a little bit here, and by bets I mean our little prediction game. But everybody, we are working on getting a real punishment lined up for the loser of the 2026 prediction game. Eureka has got some ideas in the works, and we're gonna figure out whether it's Carlos, myself, our producer Eureka, or our two writers Parker and Connor. We're going to get something lined up for this one. Speaking of the other people in this game, Eureka, our producer, has also gone with a 3-1 win prediction. Parker, the writer, has gone with a 2-0 win prediction, and Connor, the writer, has gone with a 2-1 win prediction. So yet again, everybody is in the W column. I honestly assume a W is likely in this case. I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but
a strong word.
I understand that it's a strong word, but I think that it is. It's just the margin, obviously. It could be 1-0, and I'd be happy to take it, and that would also be another shutout. That's where we are. All right, let's get into our extra time segment. Wanted to highlight Dominic Casciato already named the USL Coach of the Week. That was pretty quick, and it happened in the Rowdy second game. In addition to that, Russell Ciceroni made the team of the week, and MD Myers, who started on the Rowdy's bench, was named to the USL team of the week bench. So I guess that's rather fitting. Carlos, are there any other things you want to add for our extra time?
One more very important thing, and this ties into why I like your prediction of potentially conceding a goal here. Jamali Waite joins the Jamaican national team this week for their qualifying playoff game.
That's very important. Thank you for highlighting that.
this Thursday night, I want to say it's 11 p.m. Let me fact check myself. Sorry.
It is late because it's in Mexico. So everybody who's watching this, it will be later than you would hope.
11 p.m. against New Caledonia. Jamaica versus New Caledonia down in Mexico at El Estadio Akron, home of, I think, the Chivas. This will be a really interesting game to keep an eye on. I think Jamaica probably has it in the bag. And then they go on to play, hypothetically, against who Iraq. Is it Iraq? Yeah. No, sorry. Wouldn't it be the winner of Bolivia Suriname? I don't know.
Oh, no. Jamaica will play DR Congo if they beat New Caledonia.
There you go. Yeah, Jamaica, if they beat New Caledonia, big if, but I think they have it in the bag, would play New Caledonia. Would play DR Congo.
Dr. Congo, as I keep reading it.
Yeah. And then the other knockout game that evening is Bolivia Suriname, with the winner playing Iraq. There's also a number of European knockout qualifiers that afternoon as well. So just keep an eye on those, because it's always fun. People really playing their hearts out with the last chance to qualify. But more importantly for the Rowdies, that means that Jamali Waite is away from the team this week, playing for Jamaica, maybe not getting on the field, but we'll see, against New Caledonia, and then hypothetically, hopefully, potentially against DR Congo. Do you know when that game would be, James?
I don't know the timing of it, but it is on the 31st. Both of them are on the 31st. I think that the DR Congo game will be the first of those ones.
Yeah.
So possibly those will be within a time when anybody who is listening to this will be able to watch it. And obviously that would be great for you, me, everyone involved.
Yeah. So Jamaica this Thursday against New Caledonia, with the winner of that game going on to play DR Congo in 7 days, which would be next Tuesday evening. Super exciting, super fun. Best of luck to Jamaica. They have our colors on their flag. And
incredible jerseys.
Incredible jerseys. And one of our players representing them, in fact, our starting goalkeeper. So best of luck to him. That would be really, really fun to see a Tampa Bay Rowdy at the World Cup. Stat legend, Jake Nutting, who works for the Rowdies. Let me know that the last time we had a Tampa Bay Rowdy at the World Cup was from that first Tampa Bay Rowdies squad in 2010. the modern era. Yeah. So hopefully we're looking for our number two here.
Cross our fingers, everybody.
Cross our fingers. Go Team Jamaica this week and next Tuesday, hopefully. But again, more specifically to more close to home, that means Austin Pack gets a start this weekend for your Tampa Bay Rowdies. Jamali Waite back before the following weekend, win or lose, to be ready for that game. So, that being said, right, I think that's maybe why I like your prediction as well. Maybe we can see the goal because there's just some, new chemistry with another keeper stepping in. But again, these guys have been training together now for a number of months, and I'm sure it's, whether it's Jamali or Austin Pack, like, I'm sure it's, new chemistry to be built either way. So hopefully our backline holds up and we can get that shutout from my prediction, but I just like shutouts in general. So I do, by the way, like Pack. I think he's a really good goalie with a great resume to him. It's not like he's just any backup keeper. And we talked about this offseason, that we were maybe looking for a really quality backup keeper, understanding that Jamali Waite might be out for a little bit between this and then hopefully the World Cup itself later this summer. Pack looks to be a really, really, really serviceable keeper who hopefully has a great game this weekend against Loudoun. Okay, that's extra time. I don't think there's anything else. You mentioned Dom, Coach of the Week, and then Cicerone and Myers on the Team of the Week. I think that's all we got, James. This was a fun episode. It's fun to talk about a really, really exciting Rowdies win, especially at the beginning of the year. There's so much excitement, so much to look forward to. Even outside of the Rowdies, now we can root for Jamaica this week. Like, it's so fun. I love soccer, James. What a great sport.
Absolutely. Petition to our overlord, producer Eureka, to change segment 5 extra time to Tampa time. We'll see how that goes. I'm sure people over in Pinellas County will complain about that, but we gotta put in the petition regardless. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. We always appreciate when you do. Follow us on RBLR Sports or at RBLR Sports, on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, Blue Sky, anywhere. Everywhere you are, we are there too. I am mostly on Twitter at RBLR James K. You can use the hashtag AskRBLR, or you can reach Carlos
at CarlosTPA10 on Twitter and also Instagram, but there's not really much Rowdy stuff over there. And follow us, like James said, at RBLR Rowdies. You can follow RBLR Sports at large. At RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, anywhere and everywhere you get your social media content, we're there. And always, by the way, throw in a hashtag ask RBLR question. We love checking those out. We love seeing folks comment live when we do go live, which is usually when we don't have an interview. So most weeks on YouTube or Twitter. YouTube's always the easiest place to chat with us live. So thanks for everybody's feedback there. Love interacting with everyone. Makes it a lot more fun. So follow us, that being said, on YouTube. Subscribe to us. Like us on all the podcast platforms, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple, Google Podcasts. James, take us home.
So for one more week with a great win and hopefully another one in the bag, come on, you Rowdies.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.